Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, welcome to Back to the Frame Rates Movie Musings bonus show, where we share what we've been watching, what we're doing, anything that's related to our movie, TV watching experiences, where we just kind of hobnob around, talk about what's going on in our life. We're going to just see what's going on. How's everybody doing?
Great. How are you?
Dandy.
I can't complain. I'm like one of the most impatient people in the world. So I have some like technical problems, but as soon as I solve them tomorrow, I'll relax. But until then, I can't relax. It's just my personality. But I'm no right to complain. I have oxygen. I live in the United States. I have a roof. Life is good.
Sam, you don't have to do this, but you want to tell us what happened to you tonight?
Oh, it's, yeah, I'll just, in my frigging vehicle, there was a woman that was, I was driving, I lived down near Westport, Massachusetts, I was driving, and there was a woman that was looking for her dog that was probably not lost, but wandering around, and I had the brilliant idea. I'm like, oh, there's a side adjacent parking lot to the beach. This might be where the dog went. Long story short, I went in there, got stuck in like a sand mixed with ice trap. I have a photo of it. It's ridiculous. I'm like, car stuck. I'm used to my Subaru Outback, which is just like a beast that can roll through the woods. But this is my father's older Volvo, which like if it drives in snow, it just like it can't move. And so I got trapped. AAA came to tow me out. But they had this rule. I was 50 feet like off the road. So they were like, well, if we come in to get you, we'll get stuck, too. So we can't help you. So I was like, what am I going to do? And they're like, well, you could call this other towing company, but it's more expensive. But I was like, okay, fine. But I got to get out of here. Like I have to do something. I'm not going to just like live here tonight, you know? But then the other guy came later and long story short, he got me out, but like, it was a long wait and it was like cold and dark.
You had your own Society of the Snow.
I did have my own Society of the Snow. I was like starting to develop a movie idea, and it was a terrible movie idea. So like, it was just me in the dark and the snow coming up with an idea that was not good. So it was like mediocre.
I'm glad you had no avalanches.
This is why I'm a prepper. Everything in my trunk that I need in case I get stuck in anywhere, like blankies and pillows.
What I did have was that there's like a thing that you take out of the spare tire. You put a hook on the back of the car so they can pull it out. Like he had to pull the car from the behind and it worked, but it was
at least it wasn't some lake and you would have gone into the water or something.
That's true. If it was a lake and I drowned, I would have like a cool 1990s style one liner though before I died. I'd be like, oh man, I like water, but I didn't want to drown in it. That wouldn't happen.
Well, I'm sorry you had to go through this, Sam. And later on this week, when we review The Notebook, there's a reason why Sam's not on that episode, and that's why.
Man, I can't wait to hear it. Yeah,
and it's the reason why. Never mind. We'll leave it there. Anyway, so we're going to talk about what we've been doing and watching this week. B, why don't you enlighten us with anything that you've been taking in?
Yeah, sure. I finally finished my rewatch of The Sopranos, which means so did my partner, which means we don't have to get divorced. So, listeners, please let me know what you thought of the finale of The Sopranos. I know it's very contentious.
About 15 years too late on this question, but yeah, go ahead.
I know, but I feel like people will probably still have feelings. You know, that doesn't leave you. It's for life. That's what I learned about the mafia. It's for life. Mm-hmm. So watch that one. That was
part of it or anything.
That's what someone hey, yeah. would say. So finished that. That was awesome. Went on like a little bit of a Cassavetes kids rabbit hole. So wait, for
listening- how long did it take you to watch all, was it 7 seasons of Sopranos or 6 seasons?
Not long enough. It should have taken longer.
It was less than a month, right? You did all
the
this?
6 seasons. No, it wasn't. It was a couple months.
It was? Oh, I felt like you were just, all right. Sorry.
No, it was a few months.
You should counteract that by now, because that show is so incredible. You should counteract it by watching a show of lesser quality. Might I recommend Matlock with Andy Griffith? Go through the whole thing.
We were thinking a movie, a show we both like is The Wire. And that's kind of that would I feel like gracefully exit us out of The Sopranos.
But you know, I've only seen season 1 of The Wire, and I don't know why I dropped it. I need to watch it, the whole thing.
I'll do a watch with you on that one. Right. That's a great show.
Someday.
So, this is coming out before our Notebook episode, but we watched The Notebook this week, which made me fall down a little bit of a rabbit hole for John Cassavetes' kids and their films and their legacies. I did end up rewatching John Q, which I saw years and years ago, and, you know.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, Denzel. It's not a bad time. I like John Q quite a lot. And then I also, and I hadn't seen this one before, Zoe Cassavetes made an indie film, Broken English. And I thought that was really good. That's on Criterion. So if you get a chance to check it out, that's less, it's very not in the style of her brother's filmmaking. It's much more in the style of her father's. So it's interesting. I thought it was really good. And so folks should check that out. And then I rounded it all off with my favorite genre to get me out of all this drama sappy stuff with Kung Fu. And I watched, I love Kung Fu movies. They're my favorite. I'm ashamed that I haven't watched as many this year as I normally do. I need to get back on my Kung Fu Buary train. And I kicked it off strong this week. I watched a film on Tubi called Alienoid, which I had not even heard of.
Never heard of this.
So my partner, Tom, he's got this fascination with bad sci-fi movies. He just wants to watch B-sci-fi the way that people want to watch B-horror movies. And so we're going through those films for the long weekend. And this movie came up, and it's a little kung fu, a little wire fu, a little sci-fi, a little comedy, a little fantasy. And I have to say, it was not bad at all. It was too good. It didn't fit the bill. It's so good that there's already a sequel that I can't wait to see. This movie came out in 2022. It hits all the beats for me. It's super messy, and it gets a little long in the third act, but I did not care because I was just having such a blast with this wild movie. It takes place over 3 time periods that converge at some point. And so we've got all these different characters dealing with different technologies, from mysticism and cats that can jump out of fans and turn into fighters to aliens and robots that come down from other planets. So I thought it was amazing. And folks should check it out if you like Kung Fu.
I have the trailer on in the background here. This movie looks insane.
It's really good.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I did this week.
It looks like it has a pretty big budget.
Yeah, I know. It was totally under the radar for me when it came out.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Anything else to mention, or is that it?
No, that's all that's worth mentioning, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll say a few things that I saw this week. This kind of ties into last week's episode. We didn't have a bonus episode last week, but I watched the Thing from Another World, and this was the original film from Howard Hawks. He's not the director. It's kind of weird if he's the director or Christian Nyby. Is there, either him? It's one of those situations where, like, I think, whatever. Anyway, so I rewatched this. It's the first adaptation of the 1938 novella from John W. Campbell, Who Goes There, titled The Thing from Another World. That's It's very of its time. As you would expect, this film being from 1951, it has a very different vibe coming out shortly after World War II. It's certainly tapping into the paranoia, the anxiety surrounding the Cold War, when the U.S. was freaking out about the spread of communism. The United States was also in the midst of the Korean War at the time. So, story involves a group of scientists and military personnel discovering a crashed alien spacecraft in the Arctic. And the frozen alien they find is a plant-based creature this time around. Huh. Now, I love classic horror films, and many of the Universal monster films I enjoy a lot. But for some reason, I found this to be kind of a dull film. I think the creature is very cliched and kind of lacking kind of the depth that I think of, like Frankenstein and Wolfman. Yeah, yeah. I just like those a lot more.
I do too.
It's kind of a mild not recommend for me. But, you know, fans of the Carpenter film that are interested in seeing this, want to compare it, go for it. I think it's currently streaming on Tubi and the Roku channel. You can rent it on VOD. So if you're a completist, knock yourself out. I also watched a movie called Suncoast, which just hit Hulu, streaming Hulu right now. I was really excited to see this because this is a film that premiered at Sundance just last month. Hmm. This is a story about a teenage girl played by Nico Parker. Well, I think is a revelation in this film. I've only known her from one other thing, and that was the show that came out from last year, The Last of Us. Ellie, I know you were a fan of that.
Oh, yeah.
She was in episode one. She played Pedro Pascal's daughter in that first episode. In this film, she stars alongside Laura Linney, who I think is amazing in this movie, as kind of this overbearing mother. They're both caring for her brother, who is dying of a terminal illness. This film is just this really harrowing depiction of a family dealing with the stages of grief wrapped around this coming of age story. It was a hard watch for me. I don't want to spoil the film for you or the listeners because I think it's worth watching, but I will say that, you know, grief can cause us to act in a lot of chaotic ways as we navigate, you know, those times. Mm. And this film definitely hit a nerve with me as I found myself relating to a lot of the emotions of what it's like to go through, you know, similar situations. Mm-hmm. I'm being purposely vague. I know, but yeah. I think
you said it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu right now. Just hit Hulu.
Okay.
It was at Sundance a month ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's such a fast move from festival to streaming.
It's called Suncoast, and Sundance awarded Nico Parker with the special jury award for breakthrough performance.
Oh, cool.
So again, yeah. See, yeah, you can check it out Hulu right now. So yeah. Also, one other thing I'll mention that I saw this week, we did a recent review of The Notebook. So I occasionally poke around to see what directors are out there that I haven't seen too many of their films.
Okay.
And it shocked me to discover that I have gone 49 years of on this planet without seeing one single Ken Russell film.
What?
Yes. And what a coincidence that the Criterion Channel is featuring Ken Russell right now with a whole slew of his films.
That's awesome.
So how and why I started with a 1991 film, Whore, is another discussion. I've justified it to myself as a counterpoint to our main review this week, The Notebook.
Whatever. So you've never seen Tommy?
I haven't. I've listened to the album like
sure,
a million times. I've never seen the movie Tommy. Nope. So Whore.
I'm dying for you to see Tommy.
Is a very interesting film. Yeah. It's actually not very lauded. It's not supposed to be Ken Russell's one of his better films, but I decided I need something to counterbalance what I just saw with The Notebook.
Wow.
Anyways,
what's something that I know that he's making? I don't know this Ken Russell.
I don't know.
If you don't know Tommy, I don't know that you. I don't think he's your director.
No, yeah, I don't think it stars not. Teresa Russell, who has no relation to Ken Russell, in this satirical look at the day-to-day life of a Los Angeles prostitute. At times, this film is really funny, but it's also very grim. It's not a great film, but I can't deny I was entertained. Ken Russell has famously stated in interviews that this film is a direct reaction to the film Pretty Woman. And I can totally see that. In fact, I think these two films would make a perfect double feature. And have you seen this one?
I have. I've seen that. But I think my favorite Ken Russell is The Lair of the White Worm, which you'll have to see too.
Do any famous actors work with this guy or what?
Yeah.
And I'm not the expert on him. I really don't know. I mean, I'm really intrigued. I'm happy to see
Layer of the White Worm has like Capaldi in it and the rom-com guy, Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant's in it. So
I'm excited that there's like 10 films of his on Criterion. I'm going to try to get to a few more of them while I can. But yeah.
He looks creepy. He looks Nathan, like a pervert.
What would be the next place I should go with Ken Russell?
Well, Layer of the White Worm, if you haven't seen it. Or Tommy. Okay. You should do Tommy. Tommy. You said something earlier, though, about like Universal movies, and you were comparing that to your sort of monster movie experience.
Yeah.
I also love Universal horror movies. I didn't know that we had this in common. Do you have a favorite? Does one jump to mind immediately?
I love the original Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. I think
that's
those
mine. Bride of Frankenstein's like the best movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love James Whale. Awesome. Directed both of those.
Yeah.
I think those are
my favorite.
Peak Universal monster movies, those two.
I agree.
I actually don't think Dracula is
not that great. The Wolfman is the one that I'm like, this is really not that great.
Universal?
Wolfman is not that great. But I think that they're fascinating films, and I love everything Frankenstein. I think that they're fun. They're still fun. Yeah.
And the Invisible Man, James Whale, I think is my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've been watching. And the only thing I'll mention about what's going on with me is in a few days, I'm really excited to take some time off. Family and myself are going up to New Hampshire, and we're going to just get some time up in the mountains, do some ice skating. I'm going to do some snowshoeing. And I'm so excited. I haven't had that in almost a year now. We haven't had a chance to go up there in a long time. So I'm really excited to do that. My daughter today also went snowboarding. My youngest daughter was snowboarding today. Yeah. So yeah, we're getting some winter time in.
I love it.
This week. Yeah. It's been great. It's vacation week for them.
You mean if you have snow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's
bumming
me out.
Cause we haven't had any snow.
How about you, Ellie? Anything you want to share with us?
I mean, I haven't watched anything. I've been judging some films for a festival, film festival.
That's so cool.
And so I have a lot of films to watch yet. And
are you enjoying this experience?
I am. I'm learning a lot from being a judge and such as everything, I guess, about filmmaking, which is the directing, the cinematography, the wardrobe, the sound, the music. I didn't know the sound and music were two different departments. I was like, oh, sound is, you know, how the speech, music, it's the actual, you know. And it's just been really great learning experience for me. And as an actor, it only enhances my acting, I guess. Just learning, you know, because when you get to judge a film, you get to see other people's performances and you get to see, you know, what's lacking, why it's not working, why is their performance is working or not working. And, you know, and I'm probably one of those judges that will tell it like it is, but I'm very kind about it because you have to give people the credit for effort anyway. Because, you know, when you do a film, and I've already done a short film and we did submit to some festivals, and, you know, I told you about it, it's called The Night Creeper, and I wrote it, and then I directed it and did the editing, and boy, editing is the hardest part of the whole thing for me. It was the hardest thing. And when you do, and I feel like all these filmmakers are putting in their film to festivals in the hopes that it gets accepted, but there's so many that you had to be very careful what you really put through, right? Because you want to put the best films in there. I feel like you have to be kind because when somebody makes a film, whether it's not good or it's good or, you know, it's lacking things. Just the mere fact that you tried something, that you put it out there, I think you should give yourself credit.
Don't, 100%.
Yeah. So I could, as a judge, I like to always give my feedback and always say, you know, this is what I see. This is why I'm not going to, you know, I don't, you know, like it or dislike it. But at the very end, I always try to give them a little bit of positive feedback saying, hey, but you know what, at least, you know, you went for it, you know.
How many films are these short films or features?
There's a mixture of everything. There's like from TV pilots to to films to feature shorts. It can go from a 1 minute one to like a whole hour and a half, 2 hours. Wow. Yeah. The longest I've had was like an hour. Yeah, like an hour of a feature. And then there's documentaries too. So it's a whole mix of things.
Ellie, it's like you're doing a real life version of our vault. Like you're kind of doing that.
You know what, B? That is true, because I had to put it into the vault or not move it into the vault.
Yeah, and these are like your training grounds. On
and
the
podcast. I some films that I'm, you know, I there's some really good films that are worthy of putting even award.
Yeah,
I were worthy performances, you know, and so I. But it's been a really nice experience. I did work in a festival before. This is like back in 2017. I also did the same thing with the Boston International Film Festival. Mm-hmm. I was part of the committee that would pick the films for the film festival. And that's
cool too.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I got to go to the premiere of the opening red carpet event. And I met a director who, oh my God, his name is Gray something. Gray, what's his name? Is he the Transformers director?
Oh,
Great something. His name, his last name is Gray.
I know.
I Google Gray Transformer. And
James.
I'm just getting
James
toys.
Gray. His name is James Gray.
Yeah, he's a studio director. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's so funny because he actually that year he had made a film about the Amazons and it was like the indigenous people there. It's really great film, and you know at the end you have the Q&A. And I kept asking questions. He would like point out to me and I would ask questions. And after the Q&A was over, I'm walking through the hallway. And I guess he remembered. He goes, you're the one that's always asking questions. What's your name? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm Ellie. and he like took pictures with me at the event.
I think it was the movie The Lost City of Z.
Yes, that's the movie. And, you know, I don't think that movie did well for him, but I really liked it.
I liked that movie. That was an interesting movie.
That was a very interesting movie, and I got to meet him, and he's such a nice guy, you know, so
everything about that movie was uniquely and interestingly directed. There wasn't like a single like standard like just boring scene in it. The whole movie was strange, but in a kind of a good way. Yeah,
I agree with that. And I actually enjoyed it. I don't know why it didn't go too far, right? Because I don't remember it being...
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes marketing or word of mouth...
Just doesn't pick up.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I enjoyed... So I had that back in 2017 and then this I'm doing now. But I'm enjoying the journey. So, yeah.
Good. All right. Anything else, or is that it for your week?
No, I mean I've been auditioning all week, actually, and I'm also studying with a new acting coach. I love him. He's been in so many movies, and he's in Canada, but he back in the 80s he had his own theater company, and he won. What's the theater awards? Emmys? No.
Tonys?
Is that either a Tony
or he won an Emmy? One of the, I think it was an Emmy.
Emmy's TV. Tony's definitely stage.
Yeah.
I don't know. He won some, I don't know. But he
what's his name?
The, Jeffrey something.
That guy.
I just met him. His name is
Plutarch Oglebert Thorne.
But what I like about him, which I find really cool, because it's something, you know, when you get, they say when you have an acting coach that you connect with and you like, stick with them, right? I have many acting coaches since I started my acting career, and here in Boston, and then New York, and LA, and everywhere. And I even had a coach from my own country, El Salvador. But this guy, I'm telling you, I studied the method. I studied Stanislavski, Meisner, Stella Adler with Larry Moss. I love Larry Moss. He's my number one. But this guy uses none of those methods. And the way he teaches acting, it's like so real. And I think this is going to be a game changer for me in my acting. So I can't wait to see where it goes. So I'm excited.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. So that's about it.
Okay. All right. This is what we're going to do now.
Hey, Sam. What about Sam?
Is it okay if I'll be quick?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a pretty good week. I just want to say that on a whim, I didn't know of the existence of this movie beforehand. Like 10 minutes before, I just happened to be in Providence Place Mall. I was running errands. And I was like, I have not sat down in a movie theater for a while.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.
I just want to go to the cinema and just get out of my house and like escape my mind for a minute. So I was just looking on the posters on the wall, and there was a movie called Land of Bad that looked like mildly actiony. And I was like, I don't know. This could be one of those like terrible, like February dumping ground releases where it's just like this mediocre movie that comes out in the middle of the winter. But I Googled a review, and what sold me, I wish I could remember the reviewer's name, because the guy gave it a B. He liked it and said it reminded him of 1990s mid-tier action movies like Breakdown.
Hell yes.
And I was like, I know exactly what he's talking about. I think I'm going to enjoy this. Long story short, it is a B movie. It's nothing special, but it was surprisingly suspenseful. Russell Crowe is wildly entertaining as an angry, like, drone pilot. He's not actually in a drone. He's the guy who's at the army base, who's overseeing a mission from his computer. And he is working with some real like assholes that don't know what they're doing, but he does. So he's guiding Liam Hemsworth through the jungle, and it's a little movie. It's nothing special, but I thought the suspense was really good. There was no, like, it was not CGI. The drones looked real. The action in the jungle was great. There was like, so I just really, really enjoyed it. And I liked the climax. And so I had a fun time with that. And then I'll end by saying most of the rest of the week was errands, but I had a really good conversation with a friend of mine who's also like a producer. And it was a really, really helpful quality conversation, because I've been really thinking about trying to come up with a business plan recently, and where am I going to go next, and what am I doing? And in the past, I've made a couple of short films, but I have a tendency to just create things because I have a vision for it, but I never think of what the next step is. And so preemptively, I've been working with him a little bit, discussing the next like possible short.
And he's really helpful at like helping craft a possible business plan and some like marketing ideas and just like thinking long term, because he's in a similar boat as me. So it was a really productive, inspiring conversation and a highlight for me this week, because when I can bounce off someone else and as like a soundboard, it gives me a way in, and I can like three-dimensionalize ideas in my head as opposed to just like spinning around in the dark like a top going like, what do I do next? So that was really helpful as I'll be going back to LA pretty soon. That was a highlight. So that and an action movie made it a halfway decent week.
That's a pretty good week.
It's great to hear.
Just progress, because I like progress is good, because progress is needed.
I'm great to hear that. I haven't been to the theater in weeks and weeks now. And I don't know. I'm going to try to get out, and probably won't be for a few more weeks. I know Drive Away Dolls comes out.
I can't wait for this weekend.
And that's one of my most anticipated movies. I don't know. I think I don't know if it's going to be screening locally, though. I don't know if it's going to be like maybe one of like Coolidge Corner or something. Probably.
I'm an insane person.
I did go see.
I haven't done it yet, but I am thinking of changing my flight, because the Providence Place IMAX is so good for Dune, and there's all these small IMAX screens in LA. I'm like, am I going to like change a flight like a maniac just to see a movie? And the answer is maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Speaking of theater, I did go see Argyle this week. I forgot to mention it, because how good Argyle was. It was pretty fun. I think people who are shitting on it just got to lighten up a little bit. I don't think it's trying to be like the next best thing. It's a pretty good Matthew Vaughn movie. It's fine. But man, is it just good to be in the theater again. It's just been a few weeks for me. I think it maybe, I can't be my first movie of the year, but it's close.
Just like I was saying this to my dad, just like my father, for some reason, sitting in a movie theater is one of the few places where we can like relax. Like being in a movie theater where like you made the commitment, you bought your ticket, you know you're going to be there. It's almost like you are allowed to mentally check out. Mm-hmm. You made that like allocation of time, and it's different from watching something at home. So I just love being in the theater. And you know, I will say that Providence Place, great sound and picture. But their seats, like, they haven't updated it. So, like, the seat is small and the cup holder was, like, slanted. Luckily, I had, like, the row to myself. So I took over, like, three seats and, like, made myself like some fucking A and stuff. I was like, this is my territory.
Oh, here's a fun fact. Pedro Pascal and I, we learn lines the same exact way, by the way.
Nice.
I just learned that. He just posted in his Instagram how he learns his lines, and I was like, "What?
That's is how that I what you them. Do while we're podcasting? You peruse Pedro Pascal's blog?"
I am a. I am being a Pedro. I want to be in a movie with Pedro. Okay.
Take over for Pedro in The Mandalorian. Just put on the costume and the helmet, and they'll just dub his voice. No one would know.
I think for the next season of Mandalorian, like, he's not even in it. They're just going to have some stand-in, right? He's not.
Oh, man.
I just picture him, like, he comes into the studio and they're like, he's like, okay, 20 minutes. This is the way. Grogu, where are you? This is the way.
He's a bit too tall. I'm a little too short for that.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You mean you haven't heard anybody say anything about either one of these?
Nope.
Well, what about these two?
Oh, they suck.
So I want to, because I want to wrap this up soon, because it's getting late, we're going to bring back a version of a segment that we used to have on the main show. We used to have something called Recommendation Shelf. And what we're going to be doing is bringing it back on our bonus episodes. And here's how we're framing this. These bonus shows, even though you're hearing this before our main review, we actually record these after we record our review. So like, you're going to hear our review of The Notebook in 4 days from now. However, we just recorded our Notebook review. But what this is going to be, I'm calling this movie prep. So if you want to watch Notebook, you like The Notebook, we are going to have a recommendation for a film, if you like The Notebook, that we think would be a good companion piece to it, something else you might like to prepare for films like The Notebook. So this is what we're going to call it. And I don't have any Foley for this or any music. I might add that in at a later date. A little jingle. I like my jingles for the show.
But I like your jingles too.
I know. I might work on it. Maybe you guys can like think of something, you know. Maybe a listener will write us.
I want
a listener to compose some jingles for us. That'd be kind of cool, you know. Anyway, so this is what we're doing. And here's how this works. There's no particular theme, there's no genre. This is wide open. So to everybody here, and anybody, we're not all obligated to participate in this, but for instance, The Notebook. If you think a listener would like The Notebook, suggest another movie that could accompany it. All right? Leave it at that. You know, whether it's another romantic comedy, whether it's another movie that is about Alzheimer's, or another movie that has Ryan Gosling or Rachel McAdams in it. Could be anything. It's wide open. So anybody here want to begin?
Yeah, you know, there is one, but you guys are going to have to help me with the title. It's cheesy and it's not great. And I don't quite know if it applies, but it was with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
The Lake House.
That's such a good call.
I just like that. Yeah. I just like the almost sci-fi element of them putting stuff in the mailbox. Yeah. The thing about that movie is, it's not like a great film, but it's in the similar category. But I came out of that movie feeling good. Like, I just love the way the movie made me feel. So I would recommend The Lake House.
I think it's good. I think it's underrated. It gets shafted. I think people for some reason hate on that movie. Mm-hmm. Maybe because Keanu is, I don't think Keanu is good in that movie, but I like the movie.
Yeah. I like the movie too. I just was in the mood for it. Like, I think it's came out 2006, but I saw it in the theater. Yeah.
Yeah, those sort of early aughts, glossy romance, rom-com, they just have that certain, I don't know if it's the lighting or the softness, there's something about them.
It's better than the one with Julianne Moore and Pierce Brosnan, where they're both lawyers, came out in 2004, and they meet each other in a court case, and they have chemistry immediately. And
the laws of attraction?
That's it, yeah. And wow. But they have chemistry immediately, and so there's nowhere for the story to go. So basically they meet each other and they're happy, and you're like, well, there was no arc there. And then they go to Ireland, and I was disappointed in their adventure because I wanted to see more establishing shots. But it's been 20 years since I saw the film, but they just show up at some house. It's we're in Ireland now. I'm like, you didn't go to Ireland. Brr. Maybe they did. I don't know. I don't trust me on that. My memory's faded. I just remember feeling underwhelmed with that film. This was at a time in college when I literally saw everything that came out every week just for the hell of it. Nice.
Well, if anyone out there wants to follow Sam's recommendation and watch The Lake House, I think it's only available on VOD, or go to your library and find it on DVD or Blu-ray or some other means. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think it's a good pick, Sam. I do like The Lake House.
A solid.
Enjoy. Yeah. All right. I had to make a sound for what I think of The Lake House. It's,
Yeah. I have one, Nate, that I think is also pretty good. If you
you can take the one that we were fighting over if you want. I have another pick.
I'm taking it. Oh, it's so mine. So mine. I got there first. So sorry. It's a great romance. If you're like Nathan, well, I won't spoil Nathan's review, but if you want something with a lot of depth to it, I would say you should check out Richard Linklater's The Before trilogy. I think that is a great example of just this indelible, delicate romance that happens pretty instantaneously with two people, in this case, Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, that have incredible chemistry. And it is just, if you haven't seen it, the first one, Before Sunrise, in the 90s, it takes place over the course of one day. And it's just these two people falling madly in love with each other over one day on a trip. And they have a meet cute and the whole thing. And it's really wonderful to watch.
What's your favorite of the three?
I always just watch them together. So for me, I always watch them together, but I think the first is the one that I love the most.
I like them. Yeah. I like them all. I really do.
They're all so different.
Yeah, they are.
They're so different. And for viewers, the sequels didn't come out until I think like 10 years later. So you really get to see. Yeah,
94, 2004, and I think 2011 or something like that. And there's going to be more. I think Linklater said that the story is not over. And Hawk says that. I love Hawk and Linklater together. They can make movies forever.
Yeah, 100%. This is not the vibe of The Notebook at all. But if you want really good romance, really good love stories, and you want to just sort of like fall in love with love and fall in love with the chemistry of actors on screen, I think this is a great pick.
Yeah. That's great. There's a scene in that which this isn't necessarily like a comedy, but there's a scene in this that I laugh at. I love so much. And it's when Ethan Hawke, who plays Jesse, and Celine, they are having this like pretend phone call.
Yes.
Remember? And like, and it's really funny. Like, and they're like, and they're just like, you know, I met this guy and, you know, I don't really know where it's going to go or something like that. And I get such a kick out of that.
It's so sweet.
Yeah, it is. I love that movie. I've seen that movie probably like 6 or 7 times in my life. And I just enjoy it to the nth every single time I see it. I love that film.
B, I am so sorry. I have to give you a non sequitur shout out right now, because remember how on the Google account thing, when you were saying that check my face, you know,
file,
I checked it on this phone. It's a different picture because I have 2 Google accounts. That's what it is. So all that stuff is saved. So like the world is great. And I'm so sorry for the audience to take you off track.
No. They have no idea what we're talking about.
Sam's vaguely referenced technological problems may have just solved themselves.
Yeah. Just know that an average overweight white American male is happy, and that should make you happy. Just kidding.
All right. I'll go next. I'm just going to jump in. Since B stole my thunder this
week.
My
thunder first, Nathan.
My pick is Lost in Translation.
That's a great pick.
I think this film endures like no other. I love this film because, you know, as listeners will hear in the upcoming episode, I'm not the hugest fan of a certain type of romance movie.
No.
Nor am I head over heels for a lot of rom-coms. But the 2003 film, Lost in Translation, you know, directed by Sofia Coppola, is a very unconventional romance movie because it brings two characters together who are lost souls in a foreign place. The connection they have isn't sexual or really romantic in a traditional sense, but the connection they do spark is about as intimate as you'll see in cinema. You got Scarlett Johansson and Bill Murray in the main roles. The film takes place in Tokyo. And I know it's such a cliche to say like, that, you know, the city plays a character, but the city plays a character.
The city totally plays a character.
Yeah, I know. And I don't like usually saying that, but this movie, it's true. Murray plays an actor who is on assignment to film a whiskey commercial, but he's jaded and in his life. He takes no pleasure in his fame and recognition. His connection with Johansson's character, who plays Charlotte, reinvigorates him. Charlotte is this young newlywed and is tagging along as her husband is on his own, I think, like press tour in Tokyo or something like that. And she's crippled with the uncertainty that perhaps she's made the wrong decision in marrying her husband. And these two lost souls come together. And what I feel is one of the most romantic stories I've ever seen on screen. And the chemistry between them is just scorching. And there's nothing sexual at all about it. And I just get goosebumps watching this movie. This is my kind of romance. And of course, what can I say about the ending? That moment where they have that whisper, we will never know what is said in that. I adore this film. This is the second Sofia Coppola movie that I've recommended on this podcast. I think she's an incredible filmmaker. If anyone has not seen this movie, this is an incredible film.
I've seen
this. And this is available only on VOD, I think, right now.
That was a great movie. And I have not seen it in a long time, but I remember a hilarious scene where Bill Murray is doing multiple takes
yes.
on a commercial, and he's like, and he like gets into it, and I just was, it was a good scene.
There's also a moment where he says like, well, the whiskey works, you know, or something like that. You know? He's so good in that. And I feel so bad that he did not win the Oscar that year, because that was his shot. That was his shot.
A great movie. And this is, even if you're not a huge Sofia Coppola fan, because I'm not her biggest fan, but I think this like stands out above. This might be my favorite movie of hers.
Virgin Suicides was my other.
I'm not sold.
I do love that movie. That was episode one's recommendation. My first.
Oh boy.
Episode. Yeah.
I was talking with someone. I think Lost in Translation came out in 2003.
Yeah.
And I was 22, and at Thanksgiving I was talking with someone about it, and they were like, Sam, you're only 22. You cannot possibly understand what it means to connect to another person. You can't appreciate it. I'm like, well, I appreciate it. But now that I'm 42, it's like I get their point more, but I still appreciated that movie at 22.
Of course you did.
I'm too young to understand that movie. So if that person ever listens to this, F you, stranger.
Show them.
Yeah. All right. Hey, in Autumn in New York.
All right.
Ellie,
do you have something?
Oh my goodness. Light in a book.
Or anything.
There's nothing. Do you have any more like movies based on books or
there's nothing like The Notebook, but I mean
doesn't have to be like The Notebook.
I mean, I love The Edge of Adeline, P.S. I Love You. I mean,
P.S. I Love You is a good choice for this one.
All right, it's just
I mean, how do you pick? But okay, I'll stick with P.S. I Love You because, you know, again, it's one of my favorite actresses and I can never say her last
name. Swank.
Yeah, how do you say her last name? Swank?
Swank?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Swank. Wow. And then, oh, that gorgeous man.
Gerard Butler, baby.
Who?
Gerard Butler.
Oh, yes. Hello. That gorgeous man. I will watch anything that he does. Even if he sucks, the movie sucks, whatever. I'll still watch it. Yeah, it's basically.
Because he has a lot of sucky movies.
Did he do many movies like this?
No. This was against type for him a little bit, but he was sort of a pretty boy at the time.
Yeah, he was a pretty boy at the time. But he's done some movies, about one that I just watched where his wife gets kidnapped. But it's more like an action film. I just recently watched another one. It was really good. It was on Netflix, actually. Just recently, I watched that one. And he's like a very apocalyptic movie. And his wife and kids are
picked. Geostorm.
No, it's not Geostorm. But it's kind of like the Geostorm, but it's not that one. I forget which one it is. In any case, P.S. I Love You. I really loved this movie back when I saw it. It's just the love story. It's about how, you know, she falls in love with him and they get married and then he passes away tragically. And he basically, he knew that she was going to have a hard time grieving for his death. So he basically leaves a letters to her to ease her grief, and then eventually she meets the other guy, Dean something. He was in The Walking Dead. I forget his name.
I don't remember.
I remember this movie. Yeah,
yeah, it's a good movie.
It's good. All right, I think this is a good pick. All right, okay.
The world is mine. All my Google apps, they're all back. All the stars. All the hearts. It's all mine. The planet is back.
What the heck?
I mean.
You're too funny, man.
You guys, I'm not trying to be that like hijacker guy. I'm just saying that like, because I figured this out, I will sleep peacefully and dream of like Imladris, which is another word for Rivendell, which is just a place of beauty in the land of Middle Earth.
Oh, was it 2020 Greenland? That's the name of the movie.
I love that movie.
Did that's you watch
Greenland?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a scary movie.
Would you ride Butler?
Yeah. Love that movie.
Really? Yeah, it's in 2020. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. That was one of those movies that I bumped into by accident, and I watched the first 10 minutes, and then I just
That's how I watched it, too, because by accident. And no, it's not Geostorm.
I just watched Hunter Killer with Gerard Butler, is not good, but he is in it.
I always
got Green Zone and Greenberg mixed up because they came out the same year and they're very different movies.
As long as you don't get it mixed up with the Green Book.
Killer, because there's like two R's in it, like Hunter Killer. It sounds like a Mark Wahlberg movie. It's like Mark Wahlberg hanging out. It's like, what are you working on? Hunter Killer? And then he says to Ben Affleck, like, what are you working on? Runner Runner.
Something in this field could be releasing the chemical.
It is aggressively not for me, that movie. That's all right. It's a submarine movie.
I know that feeling when you encounter something that is aggressively not for you, and you can like, you want to be on board, but it just like goes the wrong way, and you're like, oh no.
Yeah. At some point, I was just like, this movie is just on, and I will be paying zero more attention to it.
Right. Come on, The Vanishing was really good, though.
Yeah, he makes good movies, but he makes a lot of bad movies.
I hear that. I like him. You're talking about Gerard Butler?
Yeah.
I like him as an actor. I agree that some of the movie he's in are like poor action fare that is like not so great.
He's just working. He's working.
God, I don't see Plane.
Do you want to see Plane?
No, I didn't see it.
I kind of want to see it.
You saw it?
It was fine. I can't wait for the sequel, Boat.
God.
I was surprised at how, like, when I went to the theater on Friday, I there's so many releases that I hadn't paid attention to. I was like, reading down the list of them playing, and some of them I was like, what the hell is that?
I'm excited for The Fall Guy, new Ryan Gosling joint.
That could be good, yeah.
That could be fun.
I am looking forward to that, yeah.
By the way, B, I think you're right about Dune 2 going to be box office bonanza.
It's gonna be huge.
It's not the best barometer, but I'm like looking at a couple theaters of where to go, like trying to get seats, and they're just like all the seats are sold. So I'm like,
already?
I want to see it. Yeah. The tickets are already on sale. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think it will be.
Yeah. Those kids are about to make a ton of money. Those kids.
I never buy tickets in advance, but I don't know.
The average day of like Zendaya or like Timothy Chalamet is like they must just be so active and you know what I'm saying? Like their days must be whirlwinds, like worldwide press tours and stuff like that. I can't even imagine it. I can imagine it. I just don't live it. So I don't know what it's like. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
All right.
She's a great
Should we wrap it up?
Sure.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Tune in for our episode next Monday of our review of The Notebook. And thank you, everyone. All right.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Peace.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.